Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
Thank you, Irene. Lovely. Thank you, Larissa. All right, we're talking about do no harm. First, do no harm, right? We've heard those lines. It's supposedly from the Hippocratic Oath that doctors take not to harm anyone. But it doesn't actually say that in the Hippocratic Oath, okay? That was a sort of a revision of the 19th century. But what it does say is even more powerful, I think. Let me read it. It says, I will, according to my ability and judgment, prescribe a regimen for the health of the sick, but I will utterly reject harm and mischief. I love that. Utterly, not just reject it. Utterly reject it, completely reject it. And since we are doctors and physicians of our own souls and our own consciousness, right, this is our oath, too, to ourselves, that if we want to harm ourselves, then start harming others. Because if we're all in this together, the minute I harm you, I've harmed myself. I've certainly limited myself by the level of my consciousness. So I choose to utterly reject harm and mischief. See, this is the higher way, isn't it, that we are called to lift ourselves up to, the harmless way, the way of not harming others. And even if we have to fight, we fight in a way that is expansive and harmless rather than trying to hurt others. This is the whole idea of the Bhagavad Gita. You know, in the Bhagavad Gita, there was a huge battle going on. And Arjuna, the every man, every woman, said, I don't want to fight. You know, I don't want to fight my brothers and sisters. And God, in the form of Krishna, says to him, you cannot refrain from fighting. You must fight. But there's a way to fight with harmlessness in your heart, with a sense of not hating the enemy. And this is what we're striving for. You know, we talked at 9:30 service about all those exemplars of the harmless way. And one of the characters that came up was John Lennon, who was a great example of peace and love, yes? And, yes? And, good, I just wanted to get on board with that. But, you know, the thing about John Lennon is he was an aggressive person, right? He had a lot of anguish and angst in his consciousness, and some of his songs show that. But the brilliance of John Lennon was he took that anger and that frustration and that aggression and the hurt from his childhood, he took it and transformed it into love and possibility and peace. And that's inspiring for me, because it's not that we don't feel these things, these comparisons with others and feeling hurt for what happened to us, right? That's our humanness. But we don't stay there. We don't let that define us. There is, as we said, a higher way, the harmless way. Jesus said, be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. It can be translated innocent as a dove. Because we're talking about harm and harmless today, I'm going to use that translation. But I love it. Wise as a serpent, right? Nobody's fool, but also harmless as a dove. Open-hearted, yes? Open-minded. Because if I understand the truth that we're all in this together, as we like to say almost every week, and there is only one of us here, which we also like to say, then if I am hurting someone else, then, as we said earlier, I am hurting myself, right? And I don't want to do that because I'm diminishing the possibilities of good in me and in my world. So the harmless way is the higher way. In the East, they call it ahimsa, which is harmlessness or non-injury, non-violence. And Jainism, Hinduism, Buddhism, all follow this way of ahimsa. It was one of the greatest teachings that Mahatma Gandhi followed, the way of harmlessness. And if you want to know how powerful harmless is, check out Mahatma Gandhi, right? Because with his non-resistant, non-violent approach, what did he do? He kicked the English out of India and their whole system, power, and authority, right? That's the power of harmlessness. Jesus, you know, many of Jesus' followers wanted him to rise up against the Romans, right? Duke them. Get out, destroy them. Jesus refused to do that. Did his harmless methods work, not in the short term perhaps, but in terms of its ramifications and transformative power throughout the universe in the last two millennia, definitely has worked, yes? Who else? We got John Lennon, we got Mahatma Gandhi, we got Jesus. Who else do you lift up as exemplars of the harmless way? I know you probably lift up Osho, right? Because that's your central teacher, and definitely teaching this harmless way, yeah. Jimmy Carter, okay. Our greatest ex-president. Martin Luther King Jr., there's another exemplar who actually used some of the techniques of Mahatma Gandhi in his own struggle. Nelson Mandela. Mother Teresa. Or Saint Teresa, as she soon will be, right? She's going to be canonized. Oh, did it happen? Oh, now she's Saint Teresa, okay. So there's two Saint Teresas now. There's Teresa of Avila and there's Teresa of Calcutta. Dalai Lama, so many people. And maybe there's someone in our own circle of friends who you think, wow, thank you. Thank you for exhibiting that kind of harmlessness that helps us move forward. It's a foundational principle. And you know, if we know the truth that if I hurt somebody, it's going to come back at me, then we create karma, don't we? There's a karmic consequence, right? You know, there's a great town in New Mexico that understands all this. Truth and consequences, folks. They're highly evolved there, so I've heard. Because they understand you either got to speak the truth or there will be consequences. Those that live, but Jesus said this, those that live by the sword will die by the sword. What goes around comes around. Listen to what Jesus says on this subject, because he's magnificent on this. And I read this on Thursday night. So if you're here on Thursday, you've already heard it. But you know, I think the teachings of Jesus bear repeating. I think we could say, listen to this over and over again. And still, you know, our craniums are so thick sometimes, you know, it takes a while for this message to sink in, to percolate down. You've heard it said, you must love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who harass you so that you will be acting as children of your Father who is in heaven. See, there is the higher way, and he calls us to that higher way. And he says, why? Because this. Listen. He says, God makes the sun rise on both the evil and the good and sends rain on both the righteous and the unrighteous. Now, what is that telling you right there? Not just we're all in this together, but God has no favorites, right? God is no respecter of persons. God loves us all unconditionally. He wasn't about judgment. Now, where did we come up with this idea that God is a judging God? I don't know where that entered in, you know? That's a misinterpretation, isn't it, of God. Maybe God grew up as he got older. I don't know, because the Old Testament, he was a little bit nasty. You know? Get to the New Testament, more loving, you know, more loving. We're all learning, and I guess even God learns as well. That's BS, but you know what I'm saying. What's changed is not God, our understanding of who God is, because we create God in our own image and likeness, not the other way around, so often. But the message is there's no boundary to spirit, right? God is not withholding something because you have the wrong political view. I'm not giving you any rain today, not giving you any sun, or only giving some sun to the people who he likes in the Middle East. No. It's given freely. So therefore, we definitely are all in this together. Suspend judgment. And you know, we suspend judgment because we don't know the whole picture. Anybody here know the whole picture? We are all in varying degree. Who put their hand up? Robin. I'm sending you to truth or consequences. It's a lovely town. I would say that apart from Robin, none of us see the whole picture. And therefore, degrees of ignorance which lead to degrees of humility, right? To humble ourselves, to be open and receptive to new information. Always be teachable, That's part of the lesson that Jesus would have us understand. He says, if you love only those who love you, what reward do you have? Even the tax collectors do as much, you know? Yeah, really. And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing? Don't even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, just as your heavenly Father, and I love this translation, because the older translation says perfect, right? You must be perfect. But this one says, therefore, just as your heavenly Father is complete in showing love to everyone, so also must you be complete. It's a tall order to be perfect, isn't it? I strive for excellence, but I don't have to be perfect. But this understanding that I can be complete, I can be wholehearted. When I'm doing something, even if it's a simple thing, I do it wholeheartedly, full on, right? Giving my attention, my time and energy and effort in that moment, then I'm complete. It doesn't matter if I'm complete in everything, I'm complete in that moment. And that's really all that matters, because there is only that moment, right? So complete. I'm full on. I'm even though I don't see the whole picture, I'm open and receptive to your guidance, Lord, and I'm giving it the best. That's what God is asking us to do, to come from that higher way. We can always go up higher, can't we? Whatever you are, there's always higher. Do you agree with that? And that's not like, oh my God, there's always more, I'm overwhelmed. It just means there's always greater good. There's always something better in this situation. I'm going to look for it, and I'm going to live from it, and I'm going to celebrate it and enjoy it. Yeah, that's the consciousness. The Buddha laid out 10 precepts to healthy living, and I want to read them. They're very similar to the 10 commandments, only they don't just tell you what not to do, they tell you what to do, which I like. Because, you know, it's easy to tell you not what not to do, right? But we like to be given some helpful hints about, okay, I know I can't do that, well, what can I do? So 10 cardinal precepts of the Buddha. I resolve not to kill, but to cherish all life. Okay? Well, obviously, we probably follow the letter of the law there. We're not killing people every 5 minutes. But do we cherish all life? I was reading an article the other day. It said that 20% of wilderness has disappeared worldwide since 1990. That's 26 years, right? So 20% of the wild places of this planet have disappeared in that period of time because we are not cherishing life on Earth, right? We are not caring for this precious, beautiful planet that we're on. So maybe there's work to be done in that regard, yes? So not killing is one thing. How many people squish bugs, by the way? Come on, own up. I know you're in unity, but you can be honest. Oh, terrible sinners. I'm sorry. Terrible sinners. Shouldn't have bit you, yeah. What goes around comes around. You must have done something for that bug to bite you. If you kill bugs, that's okay. But you know, I'm here to say I don't like to kill bugs. I go out of my way to. She knows that. I'll pick up cockroaches and deposit them outside, and etc. They're family. And not just because I'm Roach, but because we're all in this together. Yeah, if they're in the wrong place at the wrong time, they have to go, but generally, you know, they're welcome. Number two, I resolve not to take what is not given, but to respect the things of others. Right? That's more than just not stealing stuff. It's also appreciating other people's things that they have. You know, when we're in a divided world where we feel like I'm not getting enough, we feel envy and greed. Yeah? Oh, I wish I had their stuff. Oh, look at the car they bought. Why can't I have that? I can't afford that. But that's sad, isn't it? Because that's a lower level. We're harming ourselves by that envy. But when we understand that your celebration, your good is also my good, then I can feel good about what you drive, what you have. I'm no longer thinking, I wish I could have that. It's part of, wow, your joy lifts me up. I feel joyful because I'm partaking of your goods. That's a big lesson to learn, isn't it? To let go of comparisons. 3, I resolve not to misuse sexuality, but to be caring and responsible rather than abusing other folks. 4, I resolve not to lie, but to speak the truth. So not emphasizing catching yourself out lying, but how can I speak this truth? How can I rise up to express the beauty that I am? 5, I resolve not to cause others to abuse alcohol or drugs. Now, I'm not sure about this one. I like my beer. I wish he hadn't come up with this one. Abuse, that's the key. I resolve not to cause others to abuse alcohol or drugs, nor to do so myself, but to keep the mind clear. And that's the point, isn't it? It's clarity, right? Anything that makes our minds opaque and fuzzy so we can't see clearly is unhelpful, because we need that clarity to penetrate through ignorance. 6, I resolve not to speak of the faults of others. Now imagine how much time that's going to create. I resolve not to speak, because it's so much fun, and let's be honest. It's up there with squishing bugs, you know what I'm saying? That felt good. You know, the whole industry would disappear, you know, the celebrity industry, if we didn't complain about the faults of others, you know, and read about, oh, look what they're doing, oh, I can't believe what Johnny Depp did. Can you, by the way, can you believe what Johnny Depp did? I don't know. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, there we go. I resolve not to speak of the faults of others, but to be understanding and sympathetic, right? Because we don't know what's going on. Each one of us, as they say, is fighting a great battle, right? And so once we understand that, we lay off a little bit, because all of us are struggling with this battle, with ourselves, with our own inner soul. 7, I resolve not to praise myself or disparage others, but to overcome my own shortcomings. Because that's all about comparison again. 8, I resolve not to withhold spiritual or material aid, but to give them freely where needed. And this is the whole idea of why we tithe in the church. You know, sometimes folks will say, hey, why don't we just use that money to pay the bills? Why have we got to tithe all the time? Well, because we've made a commitment to live from that context, and to always give 10% of what comes in back out into our community. And that's how we build the foundation of our church, right? And so we do it regardless. It's not about whether we can pay the bills. Usually, because we tithe, we can pay the bills. But it's in God's time, not our time. And every time I feel a little panicked, and we're going to make it this week, we send out some tithes, and money flows, and we seem to be able to get through. But you either believe this stuff or you don't, right? You're either talking about it but not living it, or you're living it. Doesn't the song say that? You can sing about it. You can speak about it, but it's not good until you do it. 6, 9. I don't know what I was saying there. 14. I'm in a weird space right now. I don't know what's going on. What the hell's happening? No, I didn't have too many beers last night. I don't know if you've ever heard that U2 song. The album starts, he goes, uno, dos, tres, catorce. So there you go. 1, 2, 3, 14. Yeah. I'm in good company then. 9, I resolve not to indulge in anger, but to practice forbearance. Indulge in. Right? Anger's going to come up, aggression comes up. But we don't indulge in it. That's the example of John Lennon for me. You know, an angry person, to be honest, and yet used that anger, was very forbearing in many cases, and used it for good. And that's why we remember him today, because he was able to embody that delightful humanness that he had, but to use it for good. And then finally, I resolved not to revile the 3 treasures of Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, but to cherish and uphold them. The teacher, the teaching, and the community. In our case, the Christ, the teachings of the Christ, the Gospels, the good news, and the community. So to lift each other up, right? That we're, again, I hate to repeat it, but we're all in this together. Is it a tall order? Yes. Folks, it's a tall order. It wouldn't be worth following unless it was, right? But just because it's a tall order doesn't mean we can't do it. We are called to do it because within us is the magnificence that can do this. And that's why it is a tall order. And it's not impossible at all. Listen to the words of Pema Chodron, because she gives us some practical advice here. And I love Pema Chodron. She's a Tibetan Buddhist nun, practicing for many years now, and teaches from a Buddhist monastery in Nova Scotia. And this is about don't cause harm. She says, not causing harm obviously includes not killing or robbing or lying to people, all the things we learned were the right way to live when we were children. But it also includes not being aggressive, not being aggressive with our actions, our speech, and our minds. Learning not to cause harm to ourselves and others is a basic teaching on the healing power of non-aggression. Not harming ourselves or others in the beginning, not harming ourselves or others in the middle, and not harming ourselves or others in the end is the basis of an enlightened society. This is how there could be a sane world. It starts with sane citizens, and that is us. The most fundamental aggression to ourselves, the most fundamental harm we can do to ourselves, is to remain ignorant by not having the courage and the respect to look at ourselves honestly and gently. I love that last statement because it's really unity, isn't it? It always begins with us, what we dare to look at within us, you know? And it's not just looking at the pretty part of us. It's also looking honestly at the ugly, yucky parts of ourselves. Because if we're willing to have the courage to look, then we see, oh yeah, this is a commonality. All of us feel this same way. I'm not limited. This is just human nature. But I am more than that. I am also a spiritual being. So be able to look closely at ourselves, to attend to ourselves, is an amazing breakthrough, folks. Because if we can't come to terms with who we are, then how can we help anybody else, right? If I behold both the warts in me and the beauty in me and have acceptance of that, then I can begin to see warts and beauty everywhere. And I don't get hepped up and aggressive about other people's warts because I know they have plenty of my own. Yeah? Kabir, the great mystic of the Middle Ages, he wrote this. He says, wherever you are is the entry point. I love that. That's a profound statement. Wherever you are is the entry point. What does he mean? Entry point to what? Doing something? Connecting? Understanding? Growing in consciousness and awareness, right? You know, there's all these movies where they create all these portals, you know what I mean? They spend billions of dollars creating the portal that goes into the next dimension or whatever. We are that portal, folks. This is it. Wherever we are is the entry point between my common understanding and my super common understanding. My spiritual identity is here, right, within me. It's all available right now. Yeah, it's the wonderful portal to infinite consciousness. I have that as my resource. So do you. That's amazing, isn't it? That's what gets me excited. Somebody told me last week that I jumped up like that and I left the ground for like a second. I was flying for that moment. We can all fly, folks. That's what we're called upon to do. When we're in that consciousness, there's no harm, right? I'm not harming myself or anybody else. I'm fascinated to find out more about myself so that I could be more helpful in my world, yeah? We get over ourselves. We're not so enamored. So every day we have to look in the mirror, right? Or I'm inviting you to if you avoid it studiously. How many people avoid looking in the mirror, especially after you've crushed a bug? You can't face it. You cannot face yourself, can you? No, I knew it.
How do you see your warts if you don't look in there?
My point exactly. You have to look in the mirror and say simultaneously, oh my God, and how beautiful you are. You have to notice your warts. You have to notice, oh my God, look at that. And then you also have to bathe yourself in the understanding, I am a beautiful child of God. And you look at yourself in a new light, right? So you're seeing yourself simultaneously as both a human and a spiritual being. But which one comes first? That's the most important question we have. Spirit comes first. Shaya Dushadan says, I am a spiritual being having a human experience. In unity, we like to say, I am a spiritual being living in a spiritual universe governed by spiritual laws. So, what have we learned? By the way, I haven't had a pop quiz in months, so I'm starting to have a pop quiz next week, okay? So watch out, pop quiz is coming. But for now, what have we learned that we can apply in our everyday life from this understanding of this higher way of harmlessness? It's all available to me right now, because wherever you are is the entry point into that wholeness, into that completeness, yes. Start where you are, because you are everything. There is nothing else. That's right. Yeah. Nothing worth fighting for comes easy, because, you know, the great masters of the harmless tradition weren't pussycats, were they? They weren't just milquetoast. They were extreme warriors, right? I would say that Mahatma Gandhi was a warrior. Even though he didn't have a sword, he had the sword of truth. Jesus was certainly that warrior for kindness and love. Yeah, it didn't come easy. You didn't just say, piece of cake. No, it takes work. And don't shirk that, right? Be willing to embrace it. Right. You are that diamond sword. You are the diamond sword that cuts through illusion into the heart of what's real. Somebody said something else. Resist thoughts. Why do you want to resist them? Why do you want to resist them? Why do you want to resist them? I would suggest don't resist them, just acknowledge them, just view them, notice them, okay? And see if they're true or not. Because the minute you resist them, they build, their energy builds. So we're not into resisting, that's the whole idea of what we're talking about, is that your humanness and your spirit are both welcome here to the party. But the minute we resist something and push it away, then it builds. And we have consequences for that. So it's not about resisting, but I take your point. Your point is not to give it reality that it doesn't have. Yes. All right, one more, and then we'll shush. Yeah. Big doors open with small keys. I love that. Yes, very good. We may be a small key, folks, in this whole puzzle of the universe, but it opens the big door. What a great way to finish. I love it. Amen. So let us now drop down into meditation. In the interest of time, we'll do one of those arrow meditations where we go straight to the heart of things. And we say thank you for this amazing resource we have, which is time spent in stillness. Because as the world speeds up, we try and catch up with it. And there's less and less time, it seems, to be still. And yet that is what gives us sanity and ability. So each day we choose to dedicate a little time to do nothing, to be quiet. Sometimes just 2 minutes to do that. can renew us. And certainly extended times of quiet and stillness can have profound effects on our well-being. And so as we drop down into the silence for a moment now, know that in that spacious place of quiet is God's presence. And just being quiet yields great rewards. Renewal, new information, new understanding flow from that quiet place. They may not show up in the moment we're quiet, but they show up later as guidance and inspiration and ability as we conduct our lives. So I move into that silent place, that still point of the turning world, and open myself to my true nature. Wherever I am is the entry point to possibility and joy. And that stillness and that peace is palpable. I can feel it. It's real. It's the truth. And it helps me affirm the truth that I am centered and poised in the Christ Spirit. Nothing can disturb the calm peace of my soul. I am equipped to move forward this week into acts of kindness and harmlessness, undefended, open, yet always protected by the presence of Spirit. For all this, thank you, Creator, Preserver, God. And so it is.
Thanks for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We sincerely thank you for your contribution, and we affirm with you, divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive, and I am grateful.